From London, BBC Caribbean Report.
Haiti cleans up after its ferry disaster. An EC official gives legal challenges to the banana regime little hope of success. And Guyana receives EC funds to rehabilitate the bauxite industry. I'm Yvette Rowe, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. The US Coast Guard and the Haitian Navy today continued the search for survivors of Wednesday's ferry accident. Rescuers say there's little hope of finding more survivors. Up to news time, 212 bodies had been recovered and around 40 washed up on Haitian shores. As Michael Norton reports, many other details are yet to unfold in a country where human life has been devalued by years of political turmoil.
We do not know for sure how many passengers drowned, for we do not know how many boarded the Neptune around 2 p.m. on Tuesday. We do know that people actually fought to get aboard. The people fought to get aboard because the road connecting provincial Jeremy, around 200 kilometers west of the capital, and the greater metropolitan area of Port-au-Prince are practically impassable. Ferry boats link the fields of the southern peninsula and the urban marketplace. Most of the victims were merchants bringing in their produce or had been visiting family in their native province. They had been told that this ferry boat would be the last one this month. So, paying their $3.50 fare, they fought aboard and squeezed onto one of the boat's three decks or onto the rickety roof. As a civil defense technician told me this morning, public transporters on sea and on land tend to be more concerned about maximizing space than about respecting human life. The ferry boat Neptune had no lifeboats aboard, nor were life jackets distributed to the passengers. The U.S. Coast Guard has brought back around 200 bodies. The city morgue doesn't have a capacity for 100, and now that no ferry boats are in operation, it is not clear how the families of the victims will bring their loved ones back to Jeremy for burial. The dead will probably then be carted out to a city dump in Potter's Field on the outskirts of Port-au-Prince to be devoured by rats and dogs and pecked at by the seagulls. In recent years, there have been at least 8 other ferry boat disasters, at least 1,000 drowned. Overloaded trucks, brakeless and lightless, have accidents all the time on Haiti's eroded, potholed roads. That is Haiti. The tragedy is inevitable because the negligence is inveterate. This is Michael Norton in Port-au-Prince for the BBC Caribbean Report.
International observers are preparing to visit Haiti to monitor possible human rights abuses since the September 1991 coup. The BBC's Hugh Schofield takes a look at what they will find when they arrive.
A rah-rah band on the streets of Petionville, high on the cool hills above Port-au-Prince. Young men in designer jeans, many of them light-skinned, the hallmark of the Haitian elite. This is where the rich folks live, the 5% of the population tacitly, or not so tacitly, behind the military coup. Here, the name of Aristide is mud, his return preposterous. Raoul Beauvoir, a local businessman.
Return? I don't think of that at all. To me, it's ridiculous to think that Haiti could change and become a democratic country with the return of Aristide. To me, Aristide is out, and personally, I want him out forever.
Only 3 miles away, but a world apart, City Soleil, probably the worst of the capital's slums, a classic Aristide stronghold. Families of 10 or 12 live in tiny concrete shacks. Hygiene is non-existent.
He says the people who were living in these houses, which are supposed to be being reconstructed at the moment, are forced to sleep in the street. And then others are forced to sleep in shifts, because often there are not enough people to sleep in the house at one time, so they have to take turns.
It's estimated that 75% of Haitians live at or below subsistence level. And since the coup, things have only got worse. William O'Neill follows Haiti at the American Lawyers Committee on Human Rights.
Haiti is a failed state. If you go into a courtroom or go into a state school or a state medical clinic, you will see virtually no one at work, a tumble-down building, and there is no delivery of services. The government is simply not a presence out in the countryside. The only presence out there is the army.
At a church service in a village in northern Haiti, a priest delivers a pro-Aristide sermon. By chance, someone is recording it, and recording the panic as the army breaks in with clubs to disperse the congregation. One of scores of such incidents as the army, backed by the old Tonton Macoute, stamps out the last remnants of Aristide's democratic experiment. Many worse things have happened too. Human rights groups believe more than 1,000 people have been simply murdered. In the slums of City Soleil, it's not hard to find the evidence.
That report from Hugh Schofield. Father Hugo Triste is a former director of Radio Soleil, a pro-Aristide Haitian station. I asked him if the embargo was hurting the poor more than its intended targets, the regime and the army.
Unfortunately so, because if indeed there had been a strict embargo, in the same way as there is a strict embargo on the boat people, there